Oh, man, it's a great Friday show. Really going to be a good Friday show. We've got questions for Weird Jimmy Akin, second out. Whoa, whoa, that didn't come out right. It's Weird Questions for Jimmy Akin. I apologize for saying questions for Weird Jimmy Akin. But I startled Nick. Sorry, Nick. Weird Questions for Jimmy Akin. It's fun. We do it on Fridays. I don't know, every 5 or 6 weeks or so, we gather up enough weird questions. The exciting thing, Darren's got one. Producer Darren has one for Jimmy's second hour. So we've got that coming this hour. Well, it's almost back to school time. It breaks my heart to say that because as an American, I believe that school should start after Labor Day. But I'm increasingly in the minority on that, I think, because I don't know. But it used to be that summer went till Labor Day. But kids are heading back to school. And with that, you know that what they're facing in school, if you don't know this, actually, you maybe need to call us and we'll talk about it. What they're facing in school is all kinds of stuff that is that might be very unhelpful to them and their development and their moral development in particular. Kids are facing tough moral questions far sooner than they should have to these days. And sometimes it's the teacher that's bringing that to their attention. Sometimes it's the internet and all that. Sometimes it's other kids. It can leave parents struggling for answers that are age appropriate and helpful. And this hour we talk about how to discuss tough moral issues with your kids, whether they are preschoolers or high schoolers or a combination of those. 888-318-7884 is our number. If you have a question about how to discuss today's tough moral issues with kids, we'd love to get your call. 888-318-7884. Layla Miller is our guest. She wrote a wonderful book called Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Tough Moral Issues. For some reason, she also allowed Trent Horn to put his name on it. Layla is the mother of eight, and her work as a writer is driven by a passion for church teaching on marriage, family, human sexuality, and other moral issues. Among her books, Primal Loss, The Now Adult Children of Divorce Speak, and Raising Chaste Catholic Men, Practical Advice, Mom to Mom. Layla Miller, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Si. It's great to be back with you. And by the way, I agree with you. We went back to school after Labor Day. It was always the Jerry Lewis telethon and then back to school. So I don't know what's going on.
Thank you for remembering the Jerry Lewis telethon as well.
Yes.
That was the worst day of the year because I knew, tomorrow I got to go back to school.
Exactly.
But that's the right way. See, that's the humane way to do it, right?
I think so.
Yes. All right. I'm glad I got. All right.
We should go back to that, but oh well.
Please go online and sign the petition from me and Layla Miller.
There's two of us.
Yeah, there's two of us so far. Would you agree with me that kids are facing these tough moral issues? It's not just, I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on morally in our world, but it's not just that the kids have to face them, but they're very young when they have to face these things.
Yeah, so the problem is, I mean, I have eight kids, as you said, and the older of my kids are in their 20s, they're married, they have their own kids. My youngest is 9, and he's about to go into third grade. And the first half of my kids didn't have to deal with anything like what I'm having to deal with the second half of my kids, because the culture has changed that quickly in just the span of my parenting. So we are seeing something unprecedented, and parents are scared to death, and rightly so. I mean, it's a scary culture because of how quickly it's changing. So we have to now face things that we never even would have dreamed about before,
right.
And the culture is forcing our hand to the point where sometimes we can't even protect our kids the way that we used to be able to, because the culture used to help you protect your kids, but that's completely gone.
Right, when school used to be about kids.
Right.
In those days. So we Catholics, we're trying to stand in the way of progress. I mean,
of course.
We're trying to, the fact is, there are many, many people who see some of these moral innovations as progress. And they do see, for example, the Catholic or Christian or Hindu or Muslim parent who says, wait a second, I'm not convinced that it is progress that you, broach these things with my children at a very, very young age. So how do you, the child comes home and says, hey, we learned this today. Let me just give an example. Maybe there are children in kindergarten, and I know this happens here in California, it may not happen in your state, but who may learn about gay marriage in kindergarten. And so now they come home with this. And as I said, many people see that as progress. How do you deal with the child who comes home with that?
Well, that's actually, it's funny you mention that, because here in Arizona, that did happen to my youngest child, and he was in kindergarten, and he was in a class in a public charter school at the time, where two of the little girls, who I can't know if they were twins because of the circumstances of their parents, but they were both in kindergarten with him, and the parents were lesbians. And so we kind of were like, okay, we're not going to, you're not allowed, as Catholics, we are not to violate the innocence of our children before puberty. So there's this latency period, which is what St. Pope John Paul II called, the age of innocence, which would be from about age 4 or 5 all the way up to puberty. So you're not supposed to introduce, it's explicit in the document from the Pontifical Council for the Family called The Truth and Meaning of Human Sexuality. You're not even supposed to introduce the idea of homosexuality to children who are still in the latency period in those ages before puberty. If you can believe that, I mean, that's how far we've gone off the cliff, is that it's almost impossible to do what the church is asking, which is to keep our children innocent from things like that. So I had my 5-year-old one day in my kitchen, and I recount this story in the book, actually, say to me as I'm ladling up some soup for him, Mom, girls can marry girls. And, okay, so when that situation comes up, you take a deep breath and you don't panic, and you certainly don't show on your face that you are afraid or freaked out in any way, because, again, you're the child's authority, and that child is going to trust everything you say at this age, and hopefully you have a good relationship with them. And I first asked the question, well, where did you hear that, sweetie? And he said, well, I heard it from Katie. And I said, well, Katie's a very sweet little girl, but she's wrong. Girls can't marry girls. And then there's a two-prong kind of way to do this without going into actual sexuality or violating the idea of, going into talking about sex. And one is that we say, well, honey, God made it so that every little boy and girl should have a mommy and a daddy. And isn't it really, really sad when a child doesn't have a mommy or doesn't have a daddy? And so my son immediately was like, yeah, that is sad. Because, of course, we used to lament fatherlessness, right? We used to cry over a child who didn't have a mother. So kids still get that instinctively. And then, if they ask you, if let's say they're a little older and they know about the law, now the law says that, then you can go into those discussions about, well, the law hasn't always been correct, has it? For example, we had a law once that said that, black people aren't the same. They're not equal to white people, that they could be slaves, they could be owned. Now we have a law, if you've already talked to abortion, but that might be for older kids, that says it's okay to kill a child who's still in his mommy's, womb. So you can get to these issues without talking about sexuality, but you do have to address them in ways that are very understandable. So those are a couple of approaches.
It strikes me that I don't understand this myself, but there is this idea that protecting the innocence of children is somehow failing to educate them now. That you're failing as an educator if you get a 10-year-old child who knows the things that a 10-year-old child has always that have been traditional, that are innocent, that are of that 10-year-old innocent age, and you're not preparing them for the real world or something. And people don't see that. Well, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I think that this is the way that what is basically a selfish adult society becomes child abuse, that we, instead of saying, oh yeah, do what you want as an adult, even if I said that, but let the children have their period of innocence. No, that we can't do that anymore, because that now that's how adult licentiousness and selfishness becomes child abuse.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if we're going to say that parents' job is not to protect and shelter their small children, then what is our job?
Right.
I get when people say, well, they're in high school, they're in junior high, you can't keep them sheltered forever. But again, they're at an age then where even their own bodies can produce babies. I mean, that's when you need to start explaining, you know, the mechanism of sex and just what the consequences are. But when they're little, I mean, if they can't have that time to be children, if we can't protect their childhood innocence, what is childhood? Like, what are we doing? Who are we as parents? And so, yes, it is a violation. It is a violation. And I fear that the parents in society, and too many Catholic parents too, have forgotten their role. First of all, maybe it's because they themselves are caught up in one or more sexual sin. I mean, it could be contraception, it could be, pornography. I mean, there could be any number of things that they're caught up in. But also, there's this, we almost recoil at the idea that we would be different from our neighbors and that we would be able to withstand shame from our, you know, social shame, that we're different than everybody else. And so I always go back to, if you're not willing to be socially shamed for being a Catholic and believing what we believe about modesty and about chastity and about protecting the innocence of your children, then how will you expect your children one day to be able to withstand social shaming, which is going to come for them, let me tell you, in this culture? And then they won't remain Catholic anymore, you know, if they can't do that. So if we can't do it, and if we can't protect our children, who's going to do it?
Right, and it's such a noble calling to protect the innocence and to delight in the innocence of your children. I mean, it's a noble calling that we get talked out of somehow. Layla Miller is our guest, by the way. The book that she wrote with Trent Horn here at Catholic Answers is called Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. We'd love you to have it before the kids head back to school, and that's why we've got a special promotion going. If you put in the promo code KIDS, the listeners, you save 25% off Made This Way when you check out at shop.catholic.com. Just put in the promo code KIDS and you get 25% off. And then you can also get a bulk case. You can buy 20 of these and the price goes down to $5 a copy. And you can share them with other people. Maybe you want to share them. Maybe you're a teacher who'd like to share them with the parents of your classroom, or a principal who wants to share them with the parents at your school. You can get them at shop.catholic.com at a bulk rate, or you can just put in the promo code KIDS to get one copy at 25% off.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features daily Mass, prayers, articles, and meditations in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church. On the web at magnificat.com.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious mystic monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All mystic monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase mystic monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
I'm really a revert. There are a lot of converts on Catholic radio, a lot of reverts, those who have come back to the faith. And ever since I came back to a practice of my faith, I started praying the rosary, going to even daily Mass, God has led me on an amazing journey and used me in a lot of incredible ways that I never dreamed would have been possible.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, tonight, midnight Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Layla Miller's here this hour. Really, a wonderful book, very well received. I mean, when you get people like Cardinal Sarah who are plugging your book, you did really, really well. And Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. I have to say, even more than the endorsement from Cardinal Sarah, the things that we hear from parents who are like, oh my gosh, I read the book and then the question came up and I was ready, or I knew how to approach the question. So I hope you will get it. Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. As I said, Layla Miller, our guest, wrote it with Trent Horn. And we got a bunch of callers for you about talking to kids about tough moral issues. Shall we go to the phones, Layla?
Sure, that sounds great.
All right, let's start with Anne in California, listening on CatholicAnswersLive.com. Anne, your question for our guest, Layla Miller.
Hi, thank you. First, I do want to say thank you for your book, because I have it and I read it, and I think I'll be referring to it quite a bit in the future. I am a mother with a 3-year-old, a 1.5-year-old, and another baby on the way. And my question has to do with a neighbor. We've lived in this house for just over 3 years. It was right before our first daughter was born. And the man next to us is a 60-year-old man. And a year after we moved in, he started wearing women's clothing. And now it's to the point where if you were to see him across the street, he looks like a woman. But speaking to him, he still sounds like a man. So I tend to try to just avoid him, but sometimes we'll run into him on a walk, and I try to say hello and goodbye about as quickly as I can, but he likes to talk to the kids, and my daughter's at an age where she hasn't verbally said anything or asked me a question, but I can tell she knows something's off and something's not right. So my question is two parts. If anything, should I say to my daughter if I should bring it up or if I should wait for her to ask a question? And then number two, we don't have a relationship with this neighbor, but if you were in my position, would you express your discomfort to him or just continue to try to ignore it, I guess?
Yeah, oh goodness. Yeah, and more people are, I actually, it's funny because we have a, there's actually a man who comes to our parish who has started transitioning and wears heels, but he has a beard and he wears a skirt. And now we just found out he's added some breasts. And, you know, so this happens, you know, and you have your little kids around. And I guess my instinct is, and tell me again, how old, your oldest is 3, did you say?
Yes.
So, it's hard to know at age 3. 3 is very young, but if you start to see that she, you know, if she knows the difference between boys and girls and all that, and she starts to look a little quizzical, I might preempt it just by saying, oh goodness, you know, doesn't he seems a little confused, you know, about whether, you know, about the clothes he wants to wear or whether he's a boy or a girl. I mean, you might want to wait maybe 6 months to a year. I'm not sure. You're the best judge of what your daughter sees or what you think she might be able to understand. I would probably at some point preempt it if she hasn't brought it up, because I wouldn't want her to think it's normal. But you could gently then say, isn't it sad? Sometimes people get very confused about how God made them. And, you know, we pray for them. And so I would just make it as light as possible, especially at this age, because, boy, we're talking some serious psychological issues, you know, and I could get shredded for saying something like that. But let's face it, someone who has that kind of dysphoria is not stable, is not someone who is well-adjusted. So you'd want to just keep it light, and I personally wouldn't say anything to him at all. I don't think that can go well. I don't think so. He's not going to change, probably, for you or for your family. So I would just keep my distance as much as I could, just in general. It doesn't sound like he's someone who shares your family values or just the things that you believe, and so therefore you just keep maybe a polite distance.
And by not saying anything, it's not affirming it. I guess that's my concern, is that by not addressing it, I am giving him the impression I think it's okay.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that probably your body language and the idea that you're not going to become really super friendly neighbors is going to tell him what he needs to know. And also, I don't think that we are required to go up to people and tell them why we think they're wrong or what they're doing is sinful. Or if it comes up, and if he comes to you and says, hey, you know, I noticed you're a little cold, how come you know, then you could bring it up and say, well, I have to tell you, you know, our personal beliefs are that this is, you know, we're Catholic and we believe that men are men and women are women, and this just doesn't comport with what we believe, and we wish you no ill, and we wish the best for you, but that's our family, you know, that's our understanding as Catholics, and we're going to stick with that. But I don't think there's any call or necessity to, unless you're up there affirming him and saying, oh, you know, I really like your new earrings, or, you know, hey, what pronoun should we use? He's going to understand. You know, you're not on board with this. So, and your number one concern is for your children, not necessarily correcting a person that hasn't yet or isn't having interactions with you like that. Again, if there's an opportunity and if he brings it up and brings it in front of you, then you certainly could have that discussion.
Okay,
Anne? Okay. Great. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Anne.
888-318-7884 is our number. Layla Miller is our guest. We're talking about, well, how to talk with kids about today's tough moral issues. Let us go to Carlos in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Carlos, your question for Layla Miller.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. Layla, I appreciate your book. I'll be ordering it very soon. I have all of Trent's other books, which is a lot of reading, of course. So I'll be getting this one very soon as well. Thank you for writing it. My question and my situation is that I have, it's more of a standard question, I suppose. I have my oldest daughter is 13, soon to be 14, and she'll be entering as a freshman into public school this year. And so I want to prepare her for how should I talk to her about the issue of same-sex attraction in both her male friends and her female friends, and how should I go about talking with her in a way that we understand as Catholics that we still love everybody, we accept everybody, but we don't accept certain actions. And so I'm scared out of my wits because she's my oldest daughter and I've never had to have this conversation before. So how do I have that talk with my daughter? What are the best pointers you could give me?
So the best pointers, I think, are, and this is how I raise my own kids, is, and our whole approach in the book, as you'll see, is a natural law approach, which is, what is the nature of a thing? Like, what is the created order? So we can say to our kids, for example, they would understand that, you know, if we tried to use something against its nature, like if we tried to use a hairbrush as a clock or a toaster or it wouldn't work. Everybody kind of knows that. So we use things according to how they're designed, what their nature is. And so human beings and human bodies have a nature also. And so that's kind of how the whole book is premised, is just on the natural law. Like if you use something according to its nature, things tend to flourish. If you use something against its nature, things tend to fall apart. And there tends to be negative consequences. And she can look around now. She's going to be a freshman. She can see kind of the world. Her world is very crazy. I mean, her generation, I have a son going into freshman year, you know, and he looks around and he sees yeah, a lot of unhappy kids, a lot of disaster kind of going on. The kids are, a lot of them are already addicted to pornography. A lot of them are on antidepressants. Some are suicidal. I mean, it's a pretty dark, bleak picture, unfortunately, out there. And you can explain to her that's because people aren't, whether they're kids or the family members, the adults, the parents, aren't using themselves, you know, aren't comporting themselves as moral agents according to the way we were made to act. You know, we are moral agents, and God designed us to act a certain way. So the whole book is kind of premised on that. And if you can make her see that the world makes sense if we use things according to God's created order, and that people are happier and there's more flourishing, she'll start to put those pieces together. I will also, and yes, always with the eye towards, but we love everyone. We don't know what they're going through. We don't know if they even know God or Jesus or if they've ever heard of these things. They're behind the eight ball. They're getting all these messages that are just completely chaotic, and they don't know right from wrong, up or down. But I would also say, and my son, who's going into ninth grade, he sat down and actually read the book himself. If you feel like it, once you go through it, if it looks like, you know, you're okay with her reading some of the different things, like there's a chapter on pornography, for example, you'd want to read everything through. But I've had him and other high schoolers and young high schoolers read through it and just nod their heads the whole way through and say, oh, yes, this is exactly what's happening in my school, and these are the things that I can say. So it will make sense to her if it's all laid out beautifully, because the truth is designed to make sense. So so you may want her to read those chapters and her, you know, herself, along with you even.
How's that, Carlos?
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Yes, thank you, Si.
Thank you, Carlos. 888-318-7884 is the number. We're talking about how to talk with kids about today's really tough moral issues. We're about to head back to school. I don't, you know, you were mentioning what happened in the school when a child encountered a lesbian family, you know, the child of two lesbians. But here in California, it's different than that. There's a sense of it being actually the state of California that's promoting a lot of this stuff. And parents can feel pretty daunted by that, by facing the entire, it might be in, you know, in their city or neighborhood, the entire educational establishment that they're kind of standing up to.
Right. And that is where we're facing some real treachery, because you're, again, I always say, in the past, if things were going wrong, even within a family, and a child, you know, was confused about something, you'd still have the rest of the culture that was moral, or at least held up, you know, marriage as the ideal, or, you know, frowned upon abortion, or thought that it was bad, or, you know, didn't, would never say that homosexual activity was a good thing, even to the par of marriage itself. So now we have that all turned on its head, so the culture's against us. We're Catholics. I mean, the one thing we have to understand is that the world will not like us. And so we're in that position now.
We got to finish that thought on the other side. We'll be right back with Layla Miller.
Listen. Have a question? Listen. We've got answers.
Catholic Answers.
I love it.
Live.
In his new audio presentation, The Very First Fathers, apologist Jimmy Akin takes you on a tour of the earliest Christian writings outside the New Testament. From the most famous figures and most notable works to those lesser known but no less important, this pivotal time in the development of the early church is revealed in fascinating detail. Jimmy shows how, even in the first century after the resurrection, it was necessary to defend and explain truths that are still under attack today, such as the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the perpetual virginity of Mary. The Very First Fathers is a compelling look at the dawn of the Christian age and edifying listening for anyone who wants to understand and defend the full truth of Catholicism. Order your copy of The Very First Fathers today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Tim Staples, Trent Horn, Cy Kellett, Chris Check, Carlo Broussard. Our On Fire lineup of speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker for your event, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Have you subscribed to the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter? This is Catholic Answers Live host Cy Kellett, and I want to tell you about our new weekly newsletter full of behind-the-scenes information and facts you need to know about the show. It's easy to sign up. Just visit CatholicAnswersLive.com and look for the newsletter sign-up box on the front of the page. It's a great way to keep up to date with what's happening with the show and see what's coming in the days ahead, delivered weekly into your inbox. Sign up today for the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter and see what you've been missing. Go to CatholicAnswersLive.com.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. Do you have questions about the Catholic faith? Listen for the best of Called to Communion on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern and live on Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Called to Communion on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Second hour, Jimmy Akin will be here for Weird Questions with Jimmy Akin. Always a fun way to end our Friday. We're talking with Layla Miller this hour, author with Trent Horn of Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. And one of the things, Layla, that I have some concern about is you want to answer these questions in a way that the child is actually answered so that they don't end up as many middle schoolers today. And parents will say, well, not in middle school, it's high school. No, I mean middle schoolers who think, well, the church is just unfair because it doesn't believe in the fairness of gay marriage, you know, that everyone should have the right to marry. And then that can be, I mean, I am amazed but at how often that people will tell us that's when I decided I'm not Catholic, you know, in middle school because of this question of fairness. So we need to not just give them correct answers, but answers that will be helpful so that they know, well, that's actually not the truth about the Catholic faith.
Right, and we need to have them be able to think critically from early ages, which is why I say always everybody grab a copy of The Emperor's New Clothes, because that will be the first thing that they need to kind of memorize as a fable as they go along, because they have to be able to see that truth is truth, you know, and so it's not wrong, it's not mean, and it's not unfair to say what is true. in fact, it's very loving and kind and good to do that. But you're right that they're steeped in this idea of equality. You know, that's a big framework that kids are in today. You know, everything has to be equality and equal and fair. And so you will have to say, for example, on the subject of abortion, that's kind of an easy one where you could say, well, you know, it's unfair that bigger people would be able to harm and kill smaller people. So that kind of thing, you can use that to your advantage when you're teaching kids about things like abortion. Things like gay marriage, we talk about that in the book as well, which for something to be treated as equal, it has to be the same. So let's talk about what is marriage. So, and kids, you know, don't underestimate them. They like to work through these things. I mean, we're made to recognize and identify truth, and we're made to like it, and things make sense. So we could say, look, it's not unfair to say that a man can't marry a man because it's not the same as a woman marrying a man. And here's why. You know, you can't have two sets of rules for things that are equal, right? I mean, if it's an equal thing, then the rules have to be the same. And so we lay out, well, gosh, it's not the same. For example, you know, male, female, that's complementary. We go into a lot of it in the book. And what is sex for? What is marriage for? What does it mean? Well, then you come and you bring the idea that two men could do this thing or have this marriage or, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Even to the extent that secular societies understand that. We write in the book, the UK has rules for annulling a marriage. Well, there are two different rules. There are rules for heterosexuals and rules for homosexuals because homosexuals can't consummate a marriage. Well, that was always the very basis for what constituted, a valid marriage. It had to be a consummated marriage in civil law. You could annul a marriage that wasn't consummated. But they're saying, well, gay couples don't have that rule because they can't consummate. Well, okay, then right now we see those aren't equal things. If you have to have two sets of rules for something, then those can't be equal. So, I mean, again, the equality thing, sure, let's treat equal things equal. But let's be honest about whether or not something is equal. What is marriage? I mean, then you can go into that whole question. So kids are smart enough to get that. Like, okay, you know, it's not that we're being unfair just because we're being mean. It's because that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense because they're not the same. But again, it takes us to be able to know our own faith enough to impart that to our kids.
Layla Miller, our guest, Made This Way, is the book, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. We go now to Michael in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Michael, your question for Layla Miller.
Yes, hi. Thank you so much for all you do. I had a question for you. I just want to know what your experience has been with kids getting sports physicals at the doctor's office, and then the doctor nurse takes it upon him or herself to discuss with your child about things that, you know, other teens are doing conjugally before marriage and what have you, and contraception. And they don't ask your permission. They don't, it's like as if you're not there. And we just had this happen to us with our son, and we took him actually to a Catholic clinic. And so I was just really taken aback by that because of the fact that I figured that that's something that should be discussed between you and your child as a parent, not with your doctor and the child. And I just wanted to see what your experience was with that, if you've heard of that happening more and more, or has that always happened? Because I would figure that at a Catholic institution, they should be looking at that through a Catholic lens and talking about abstinence and chastity and what have you, and not going into the other things. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, first of all, Omaha. My daughter lives in Omaha, so I love Omaha. And it's such a Catholic place. I'm actually surprised that someone or doctor identifying as Catholic there would do that to you. Because my response was going to be, oh my goodness, make sure that if that's happening in your community, that you find a really solid Catholic doctor. Who won't do that. So hopefully there's still someone in Omaha that won't do that, because I know that there are good people there. But it is. Yeah, it's a violation. And so it's a violation of parental rights. It's a violation of the kid's innocence and their right to not have to have that stuff shoved in their face. So, yeah, unless you have a really good rapport, like we have a pediatrician who is not even Christian, but she has respected our wishes for all these years. But again, we go way back. If it's a new person, yeah, you may have to really lay down the law. We can't really lay down as parents anymore. We have to be that obnoxious person. We kind of have to be the thorn in the side that says, you know what, you're not going to talk to my teenager by himself. I'll be present with my teen as we're having these discussions. And nobody wants to do that. It's very uncomfortable. But if not, you'd have to find another doctor. And if you have to vet them beforehand and say, look, this is what I don't want said to my kid, then you have to do that.
Michael, is that helpful to you?
It is. And I just want to thank you. And I have to add this as well, that, you know, it's frustrating as well, because I think it also causes confusion amongst the children when you're trying to raise your children as best as you can in a Catholic home. And then you take them to a Catholic clinic, mm-hmm. and the doctor who's representing that identity comes at that angle, and your kids are looking at you like, what is this? You know, and then you have to try to explain that to your children, why this happened.
Yeah.
It's a bigger betrayal than even going to a secular doctor and having that happen, because now you're having to defend yourself against a Catholic doctor. And that's similar to when we sometimes, you know, if we go to a certain parish or a certain school and the teachers or the priests are saying things contrary to the Catholic faith, that's a big betrayal. And so we have to teach our kids that happens too, and it's unfortunate.
Michael, thank you very, very much for that call. By the way, we're going to be Catholic Answers. A whole bunch of us are going to be in Omaha, Nebraska in November. You can go to the Spirit Catholic Radio website and look that up. I believe that's Saturday, November 2nd, for a big Catholic conference. We're going to have a great time. I hope you'll come over for that. I do think, you know, Layla, I have said this before on the air, and sometimes people are annoyed with me when I say it, but we had a big bishop problem in the Catholic Church and a priest problem, and a lot of us didn't say what maybe should have been said. And not that we all knew or anything, but that things needed to be said and not people didn't say them. Currently, mm-hmm. we have a problem with the principals of Catholic schools, and we're mm-hmm. all pretending like this is not a problem, that Catholic schools are in many cases not a safe place to send your kid for a Catholic education, because Catholic principals they don't believe it. They don't believe the faith.
Right. Right. And you're getting those principals who don't believe hiring teachers who don't believe, and then your children are, you know, there's a pretense that this is a Catholic school and they're going to get these Catholic values and Catholic truth, and they're getting something very different. And it's right. very sinister. Your antenna have to be out. You have got to, as a parent, be willing to be that gadfly. I mean, nobody wants to do it, but you got to get like-minded people together. And even if you don't get the outcome you want, you can't be silent, because if everybody's silent, you know, nothing will change. And eventually, right. we do have to be accountable to God for what we did try
right.
to do.
Including the pastor who needs yes. to take an interest in what's happening at the Catholic school.
Oh,
I'm annoyed
yes.
now, so I got to take a break, or I'm going to start saying things I shouldn't be saying. Well, Layla Miller is our guest. Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, is the book she wrote with Trent Horn. It's on sale right now at shop.catholic.com. So head over there, shop.catholic.com, and get a copy for you and your family before heading back to school. Oh, I hate even saying back to school on, what is it, August 1st? Is it August 1st? I'm feeling dizzy just saying it. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Call us now with your question.
Hello?
On Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Once you lose faith, if somebody does something to you and hurts you one time, two time, three time, four time, St. Peter thought seven was a good number. How often should I forgive my brother, Lord? 7 times? My Lord said, no. 70 times, 7 times a day.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I hope you're having a good summer Friday. We're having a good summer Friday here with Layla Miller on the line. She and Trent Horn wrote this wonderful book, Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. One of the things you said, Layla, and this was, I think, a brilliant decision that you and Trent made, or, you know, that you, let's admit it, you probably talked Trent into this, but the idea that you have to talk with children about the natural law, and that, and that the natural law is about our flourishing, and you do that all throughout. Maybe you should, if you could, would you just say something about the fact that you also, in this book, recognize that children are at different stages and different answers are appropriate at different stages?
Oh, absolutely. So, again, going back to what the church teaches, the church tells us we cannot violate the innocence of our children. If our hand is forced, which unfortunately today it is, then we are to give very guarded and limited information so as to correct whatever error, you know, they heard. But we're not to overload them with sexual talk, obviously. So very careful in those early years. And you talk more generally, you know, just about God's bigger design about things, like, you know, marriage is about mommies and daddies having children because children need mommies and daddies in a forever family, and, you know, don't get into the intricacies of sex, you know. But then as they get into the teen years, which is why we broke it down into sections, the teenagers need to know, you know, why things are the way they are and why contraception, for example, violates human dignity. I mean, you know, it never ceases to amaze me. We put all these young girls, for example, in their teens on the pill for whatever reason, you know, acne or just because we don't want them to get pregnant. Once they do inevitably, supposedly, start having sex. But we're at the simultaneously, we're so worried about the self-esteem of girls, and yet we're changing their bodies. You know, we're saying, well, your body isn't good the way it is. Let's sterilize you. You know, let's put you on hormones. So which is it? You know, are we going to tell girls they're made in such a beautiful way and that their bodies are good? Or are we going to say, oh, you know, you definitely need to be on this. Your healthy body needs to be on these strong steroids, and we also need to derail your healthy bodily function.
Right.
Well, which is it? So, you know, and then you get into more about what sex is for. And but we had to break it into sections. You know, the first section of every issue is what the church teaches, which helps to catechize the adult reading it.
Yeah.
Then how to speak to little kids on the issue, and then how to speak to teens on the issue. And we find that that's been really helpful because people can go straight to what they need.
888-318-7884. If you'd like some help with answering tough moral questions with your kids or grandkids or yourself, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. And I guess I say yourself because I do think, even if you don't have kids, this is a very helpful book because of its natural law approach to serious moral questions that many Catholics may think, well, you know, being very Americanized Christians, we often think, well, you know, it's the Catholic Church says that because that's what the Bible teaches. But, you know, and well, actually, the Catholic Church makes extensive use of the natural law in trying to understand and explain why some things are moral and other things are not. And you'll get an education in that if you read this book. I think you'll enjoy it. Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. Again, if you have a question for Layla Miller, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. The natural law arguments around abortion are, I think, actually very easy to make and very helpful. But I feel that this conundrum, like I felt it with my own kids too when they were little, like how much do they know about abortion? Have they heard of this? And are they secretly horrified? I don't want to leave them unprepared when they hear that this is going on, but I also don't want to introduce this idea to a young mind. You have any thoughts on that, about talking with or just being prepared to talk about abortion with your children?
Yeah, it's going to depend. I mean, we one way that we can sort of bring this to the attention of the little ones, of course, is through little fetal models. You know, maybe they've seen mommy pregnant, or but you can look at the fetal models and say, look what the baby looks like at this age. And so, you know, you introduce that this is a real life, a real human being. And sometimes mommy might lose a baby, you know, have a miscarriage, and that's a really good way to teach a child the value of life, and that's still a member of our family, and, you know, we hope to see that baby again one day, and we mourn that baby. And then, you know, you might be involved, for example, in pro-life issues, and you might have to talk more about the actual issue and word of abortion. And if little ones are asking, you know, you take the approach of basically saying, you know, if they have to know, well, it's when mommies and daddies think that they can't take care of or don't want a baby, and then they hire a doctor to bring the baby out too soon. And then, of course, they'll ask the question, what happens to the baby?
Oh.
And you'll say, well, the baby doesn't make it. You know, the baby can't live. And they're still horrified, but you've softened it a bit.
Yeah.
So that they don't have to see the full horror of it yet.
Yeah, that's something I appreciate. And I don't know if you or Trent or both of you brought it to the book, but that's the part where I always felt tongue-tied as a parent. I know this has got to be softened. But you got to almost practice these things before they come up. And certainly a lot of them hit you before you thought, wait, I didn't know we were onto this. I'm going to go to Lee in Alabama, listening on EWTN radio. The number 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I'm sorry, I forgot what line Lee is on. I apologize, Lee. Lee, your question for Layla Miller, Lee.
Yes, thank you. Okay, my question is, I have four daughters, ranging in age from 28 to 12, and I'm always having this HPV vaccine coming up, you know, when I take them for their shots and things like that. And I've always talked to my girls and said, you know, you don't need that because you're going to have to practice chastity and all of those things. And two things I wanted to ask you about. First of all, I saw, you know, they have the commercials for them all the time on TV for the HPV vaccine. And one of the commercials was saying that nearly every American is going to contract HPV at some point in their adult life. And I thought that was crazy.
Wow.
Right, except the ones who aren't having sex with multiple partners or people who have had, you know, sex and have that particular virus. Yeah. But they're trying. Yes, I mean, it's out there. They're selling a vaccine. I get it. I mean, it's not something we give our kids for sure. I mean, I always say, well, you know what? If you guys want it when you're 18, that's up to you. But I'm not, you know, that's not what we personally do. I know there are some really good Catholic families who think it's okay to do that. And I'm not saying that there's a prohibition on that. But to me, that type of vaccine for a sexually transmitted type of thing, I'm not going there. That's just, it's not what we do. So, and my kids know that. They're like, yep, that's fine. So,
be sure that I was, you know, that it's not just me that is.
No, it's not just you.
You know,
yeah.
Saying that is not. I have told my girls, I said, when you're 18 and you're in college and you feel like you need to do that, you know, that's on you. But, you know, as long as you're with me and under my supervision, you know, we're not going to go there. And here's one other thing I wanted to mention that is crazy to me, is that my daughter, who is 26, beautiful, beautiful faith, loves the Lord, focus really just did an amazing thing for her in college.
Yes, yes.
Married a young man. She was, you know, she was chaste until they got married. And they got married in November. She's pregnant because they practice, you know, NFP.
Congratulations, okay. Grandma.
Yes.
But she went to her gynecologist, her OBGYN, and they said, you need to get the HPV vaccine.
What?
And she's
married. My goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I said, what are you doing? I mean, she's just, I don't know. I just want people to realize that, you know, they're really pushing the vaccine. That's just crazy.
Yeah. We don't have to be intimidated as parents. I think that, again, is the big thing, again, about the social shaming. We cave so often to different types of social shaming. If you don't want to get that vaccine, which is, you know, something that is for sexually transmitted stuff, no, you don't have to. You don't have to get it. And we need to be okay with saying that. And it is ridiculous, yeah, how much it's, you know, it's pushed. It doesn't need to be. If you say no, you say no, it's okay, and move along. But, yeah, it's kind of, yeah, that's a whole that's a whole other subject. But, yeah, don't be intimidated, and our kids shouldn't be intimidated either. We have to just say what we want and live our faith, and there's no mandate to get that vaccine whatsoever.
Lee, thank you very, very much for that call. I'm going to move to Richard. I'm going to try to get everybody that wants to talk to Layla on the air if I can today. Richard, your question for Layla Miller.
Hello, this is Richard. Yeah. And my question is regarding the chromosomally abnormal human beings that represent with XXY. Did you mention that at all in the book, you know, in the chapters
yes.
that may have something to do with gender identity?
Okay, let's let Layla.
Yes. Yeah, we absolutely did. We went through that. We explained what sex was, biological sex. We explained what gender identity is according to, you know, what people are, you know, how people use that term. And we definitely talked about the fact that some people have congenital issues at the chromosomal level that you know intersex people or people who are sexually ambiguous genitalia, and that has always, of course, been something that's happened. And usually, if you do enough scientific testing, you're able to tell which sex that person is or which sex is dominant. But those cases are not generally, and even the transgender community will tell you, or the transgender activists, those are not generally what we're talking about when we're arguing about pronouns and transgenderism and surgery and transitioning and gender fluidity. These are most of them now are people who are one or the other sex, but they want to be or identify as a different gender or the opposite sex. So yes, that has always been a given and a constant. What we're seeing now is an ideology. It's a psychological thing. It doesn't have to do with the physical body.
Richard, I'm going to I got to keep moving because I want to get everybody on. As I said, I'm going to go to Julia. Julia, your question, it's got to be real quick for Layla Miller. Julia?
Yes?
You are on the air. Can you ask your question real quick for Layla Miller so she'll have a chance to answer?
Hi, I was just wondering about how to practice abstinence in college. There's a lot of pressure from, like, people, like my boyfriend's going to the same college as me, and it's just really important to me and my faith.
Okay, well, Layla, some help there.
Sure. So, hopefully, first of all, your boyfriend's on board with chastity and modesty and all that, and we have a whole section on modesty, which helps to facilitate chastity. So that's really important. Basically, I mean, we didn't go into the more the spiritual, but really, to be chaste in college, you better have a boyfriend that's of like mind, and you have to be really have a strong prayer life, strong sacramental life, and really have an interior life that's very, very deep, because otherwise you can be, you know, tempted. You have to have certain rules as far as, you know, if you'll be alone or drinking, that's always a bad idea. So we don't really go into the how to remain chaste in college, but we do talk a lot about modesty and about, you know, what human sexuality is all about, so that people can understand that we want to practice chastity. We want to live a chaste life.
I can recommend a book to you, How to Stay Catholic in College. You might give that one a try because it has things about making sure you have strong community ties and people who are supporting
yeah.
you and that kind of thing. All that stuff, very, yeah. very important. Layla Miller, it's always great to have you here. Thank you very much for spending
Thank
the hour
you,
with us.
Si. Oh, I appreciate it. It's always great to be with you.
Oh, if people want to know more about you or find your books and all that, they can go to leilamiller.net, right, and find you?
Yes, and it's L-E-I-L-A, leilamiller.net, yes.
All right, coming up, Jimmy Akin, Weird Questions.
Friday afternoon. That's a combination. That is a volatile combination right there. I think we're about to have a lot of fun. We'll see you then on the other side right after this on Catholic Answers Live.